Wicklow. The Senate will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Nelson. Our invocation today is from Pastor Steve Martin of Wycliffe Associates in Rainier.
Lord, we are humbled to stand before you and this assembly of legislators today. With the psalmist, we recognize that wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, and your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. We are before you at this hour to ask that your presence would be known as our chosen and elected leaders address the accepted responsibilities resting on their shoulders and the challenges presently before them. The circumstances and conditions are complex, the solutions are difficult, and the outcomes desired can be elusive. We find ourselves dependent upon you and confident in your power. We pray that you would bless our senators with wisdom, knowledge and understanding that is beyond human reasoning and logical conclusions, that you will open their eyes to see where each decision they make will lead us, and that they will be able to guide us safely into the harbors ahead. We ask that their leadership will be pure and unfettered by any goals, objectives, or agendas that are contrary to the betterment of the people of Oregon and honoring your name. We pray that convenience will never replace conviction. Pressure will never corrupt right thinking. Opportunity will never dismiss character. Courage will never be sacrificed by popularity. Honesty will always arise to being first choice. Life and liberty will be preserved, defended, and protected. Justice would never fail to be championed. Sincerity would secure for them the treasure of the people's trust. Virtue would always define who they are, and that their lives will count beyond these chambers, their respective districts, the state of Oregon, and would impact us nationally as we forge ahead in the 21st century. We offer this prayer today, surrendered to the leading of your Spirit, as an offering to our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the ultimate glory and exaltation of your holy name, the one to whom we bow and worship, our Father in heaven. Amen.
Our honorary pages today are Elliot Thomas Coomer, as a guest of Senator Walker, Jessica Warren and Christopher Warren, guest of Senator Prozonsky, James Peck, who is here as a guest of Senator Bates, and Griffin Jack, who is here as a guest of Senator Cruz. Thank you for coming today and serving the Oregon State Senate, and we hope you enjoy your day at the Capitol. Courtesies of the Senate. Chair recognizes Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Today I have a student from Eastern Oregon University, Holly Litchfield, who is from Portland. It's happy she moved from the big city out to the countryside, and we're very pleased to have her here. I think there's going to be some other students. I don't think they're here right at the moment, but if you would give courtesies to Holly, I'd surely appreciate it, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And Holly, welcome to your Oregon State Capitol, and we hope you enjoy your day today. Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'd like you to extend courtesies to Pastor Steve Martin, who delivered this morning's invocation. He's a constituent of mine and involved in an ambitious project to translate the Bible into many, many languages and make sure it's distributed all over the world. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And again, Pastor Martin, thank you for coming and sharing with us this morning. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd like courtesies extended to all these firefighters that are around us. In their midst somewhere is a kid that's related to me. His name's Tom Porter. He's in the Corvallis Fire Department, and he's known affectionately in my life as the Kid. The Kid lived with me his senior year in high school, and we had a couple of conditions. He wanted to be a firefighter. He slept at the firehouse in Phoenix, Oregon for most when he wasn't with us. We had three rules as his adopted parents. Rule number one was, call me before 7 o'clock if you're sleeping at the firehouse. Rule number two was, you're going to take your SATs and you're going to college. And rule number three was, if you finish off the milk, please leave it for us. Here's $2. Please refill it. And he put himself through Oregon State University's as a firefighter in the sleeper program, and he works now today, has a whole bunch of responsibility. And I'm very proud that he's here somewhere up there. And I'd like courtesies extended to the Kid, my cousin, Tom Porter.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. To the Kid, Tom Porter. Tom, where are you? We see you somewhere? All right. Welcome to the Oregon State Senate. And thank you, Senator Atkinson. Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Good morning, colleagues. I'd like you to extend courtesies to Fire Chief Ted Coons from my hometown of Canby. I see that he is in the balcony today, and I know that he is also very active in the statewide association of fire chiefs.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome again to all of our guests today. Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just want to extend another courtesy to the two of our pages, Christopher Warren and his sister Jessica Warren. They have traveled up from Sutherland to be here today. I know it's a long ways to come for early in the morning, and I really appreciate them taking the time out from their high school and middle school to be part of the process. And thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Along with the honor of so many firefighters with us, I'd like courtesies extended to two firefighters from my district who have traveled afar over the mountains today to be with us, Brandon Ladd of the Bend Fire Department and Jeff from the Redmond Fire and Rescue.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome to your Oregon State Capitol. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to personally extend, we extend courtesies to Griffin Jack, who is from Coquille. He is in the seventh grade. He plays football, basketball, and baseball, and is also involved in Knowledge Bowl and Math Courts. So we have athleticism and brains all in one package. Welcome to the Capitol.
And once again, thank you, Griffin. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to extend courtesy to James Peck, who is here from Ashland. We have a winter warning in effect today. We're going to have snow on the way back down tonight. So he's come a long way through difficult conditions. Welcome to the Capitol. Have a great day, and I'll take you out for lunch later. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further courtesies? Remonstrances? Messages from the House.
Mr. President, the Speaker informed the House has signed House Bills 1515, 2202, 2284, 2298, 2312, 2321, 2323, 2357, 2436, and that the Speaker of the House has passed House Bills 2235, 2302, 2326.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary number 30 was distributed to members March 4th. Number 31 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus.
Senator Devlin has requested a 15-minute caucus. Senator Farrielly.
Mr. President, we join the Senate Democrats, not in their caucus room, of course, but in requesting a 15-minute caucus. Republicans will repair to our caucus room for the same purpose, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. The Senate will be in recess until 10:45. The Senate will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Here.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
Excused. A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of propositions and motions and will resume under that order. So ordered. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move the consideration of House Bill 2420 be made a special order of business at the head of today's third reading calendar.
Senator Devlin has moved that consideration of House Bill 2420 be made a special order of business at the head of today's third reading calendar. To your motion, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, we are moving this to the head of the calendar. There are obviously a number of parties here waiting for consideration of this bill to be considered by this body, and we think it's expeditious action that we can take and to ensure that this measure is considered today.
Is there any discussion on the motion? There's no further discussion. Senator Devlin, do you wish to close? He does not. The question is on making House Bill 2420 a special order of business at the head of today's third reading calendar. Those in favor will answer aye. Those opposed, no. The motion has carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 7, congratulating William Paul Young for success as the author of The Shack. Senate Joint Resolution 30, expressing support for Oregon Progress Board and developing Oregon Shines 3. Senate Bill 707, relating to employment. Senate Bill 733, relating to Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 734, relating to health insurance. Senate Bill 742, relating to product stewardship, providing money, and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 46, relating to relationship of a declarant with the community governed by declaration. Senate Bill 747, relating to financial administration, the Economic and Community Development Department, appropriate money, and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 748, relating to tax supervising and conservation commissions. Senate Bill 749, relating to mental health services. Senate Bill 750, relating to health care. Senate Bill 751, relating to health planning. Senate Bill 755, relating to child abuse. Senate Bill 756, relating to wetland delineators and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 757, relating to electors. Senate Bill 758, relating to court facilities, appropriate money, and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 759, relating to local public safety coordinated councils and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 760, relating to election petitions. Senate Bill 761, relating to annexation of continuous territory. Senate Bill 767, relating to public charter schools. Senate Bill 769, relating to Eastern Oregon Training Center and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 770, relating to public employee retirement and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 771, relating to landlord-tenant law. Senate Bill 772, relating to landlord-tenant law and appropriate money. Senate Bill 773, relating to legal expense trust funds and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 774, relating to election violations. Senate Bill 775, relating to ballot titles. Senate Bill 776, relating to voter pamphlets. Senate Bill 777, relating to licensee for land use planners. Senate Bill 778, relating to compensation for public officials and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 779, relating to video lottery game terminals on premises of race meet licensees. Senate Bill 780, relating to asset forfeiture oversight advisory committee. Senate Bill 781, relating to inclusion of land within urban growth boundary of cities with population greater than 100,000 and declared emergency. Senate Bill 782, relating to commission on Indian services and declared emergency. Senate Bill 783, relating to campaign finance and declared emergency. Senate Bill 784, relating to assessments on cattle. Senate Bill 785, relating to move fill permitting programs. Senate Bill 786, relating to unlawful religious discrimination in employment practices. Senate Bill 791, relating to Swiss needle cast disease. Senate Bill 792, relating to cougars and providing criminal sentence reduction requires approval by a two-thirds majority. Senate Bill 796, relating to death care. Senate Bill 797, relating to Department of Justice, appropriate money, and declared emergency. Senate Bill 798, relating to certificates of need, and declared emergency. Senate Bill 803, relating to use of campaign funds. Senate Bill 804, relating to clinical laboratories. Senate Bill 805, relating to employee leave for family members of military and declared emergency. Senate Bill 806, relating to contracts entered into by public sector entities. Senate Bill 807, relating to medical monitoring. Senate Bill 808, relating to prosecution of offenses in counties and declared emergency. Senate Bill 809, relating to district attorneys. Senate Bill 810, relating to police officers and declared emergency. Senate Bill 811, relating to communities governed by declaration. Senate Bill 812, relating to medical marijuana and appropriate Senate Bill 833, limiting tort liability for land use errors by public body. Senate Bill 834, limiting transportation planning in the metropolitan area.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 129, limiting commercial driver's license declared emergency.
Pass the calendar. We will now proceed to the special order of business, and the clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2420, relating to workers' compensation claims for cancer by firefighters.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, it's my great honor today to bring you House Bill 2420A, which comes to you from the Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development. But really, this bill comes to you as the result of over a decade of hard work and service by the firefighters of Oregon. Those of you who served in the Senate last session will probably remember that you passed a bill dealing with firefighters and cancer. This is a very different bill and came about through a different process. Firefighters truly are heroes. As we all know, they risk their lives and all too often lose their lives in dramatic accidents when they rush into our houses or commercial buildings to save a person, a child, sometimes an animal. And we hear about those cases, but what we don't hear so much about is the other ways in which firefighting is an extremely dangerous occupation. Firefighters are exposed in much higher amounts and numbers than most workers are to carcinogens and toxic substances. These are in electrical fires, in various ways that a combination of burning materials exposes them to the risk of getting cancer. And what House Bill 2420 does is to create a presumption, as 27 other states have already done, that certain kinds of cancer are caused by the work that firefighters do. Those types of cancer, as named in the bill, are brain cancer, colon cancer, stomach cancer, testicular cancer, prostate cancer, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, throat and mouth cancer, and rectal breast cancer and leukemia. Now, the bill creates what I call the presumption. It doesn't mean that automatically somebody who contracts cancer and is a firefighter will have a workers' compensation claim accepted. It just shifts the burden of proof that the condition is not work-related. And it does it with some very significant sidebars. So first, this only applies to non-volunteer firefighters. They have to have worked as paid firefighters for at least 5 years. Second, the claim has to be filed after July 1st of 2009. So even though there are many people who could use the protection of this bill right now, it does not apply retroactively. Next, it has a cutoff date. You have to, as I said, have been a firefighter for at least 5 years, but after you retire, your cancer will only be covered under the terms of this bill for 7 years after the date that you retire. The bill also establishes what's called a rebuttable presumption. This was language that was carefully crafted together with employers and their attorneys to say that the employer can establish by clear and convincing evidence that the cancer was not work-related, or if tobacco use was involved, that's also a defense against these claims. And finally, for prostate cancer claims, the coverage of this bill is only applicable to firefighters who are age 55 or under. Colleagues, I said this came about through a process much different than the bill that you voted on last session, and that is because after the bill did not pass in the House of Representatives, the stakeholders in this bill came together and remarkably were able to address virtually every concern about the bill. And so that you see in front of you today a floor letter that shows support for this bill from the Firefighters Association, from the Fire Chiefs, from the Volunteer Firefighters Association, from the Special Districts Association, the employers of many, many of these firefighters, from the fire district directors, and from the city of Portland, as well as other cities. And that is because it really is a very balanced and fair bill. In committee, colleagues, we heard some really heartbreaking stories. We heard from a firefighter who developed stomach cancer at a very, very early age, in his early 30s, so early that his doctor said he had never seen a case of stomach cancer in such a young person. And he had a young family at a time and told us about the impact on his family of having to fight this life-threatening condition. And we heard from other firefighters who have cancer and are battling the condition right now, who have been working very hard on passage of this bill, even knowing that it will not help them because it isn't retroactive, but that it is extremely vital that we provide this protection and make this change for people that come forward. So, colleagues, this is a bill that I think is one of the most important bills we will pass this session. I said earlier I was honored to carry the bill. I think it's even more of an honor to be able to pass this bill today with the gallery packed with literally hundreds of firefighters and their families who have worked so hard to see the bill come before you. The bill passed unanimously in committee. It passed the House of Representatives with only one no vote, and I urge you to give it your support today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Mona Sanderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2420 is a great example of stakeholders coming together to recognize and actually to solve a problem that confront firefighters. The city's last session in particular were very much, and especially Gresham, was very much opposed to this bill, and I struggled with it. There are two firefighters who have lobbied me and two firefighters that are really very important to me and live in my district, and one is sitting at my desk right now, Representative Greg Matthews, and the other one's up in the gallery, Bill Humbert. Bill, a recovering a person who has cancer. So firefighters are really exposed to many, many toxic substances and hazards that really do place them at a much greater risk of contracting cancer while they are protecting us, the lives and properties of others, of us. And the cities and special districts, they hire these firefighters and they must provide an environment. They must have the responsibility of providing an environment that is as safe as possible for our firefighters. They must, the cities and special districts need to be supplying our firefighters with protective equipment and also making them as safe an environment as possible. I feel the concessions that the firefighters made with this bill that is quite different from what it was before is really over and beyond being reasonable. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, to the bill. Mr. President, I stand in support of House Bill 2420A, and I want to put on the record, I think it's very important from the committee perspective of what we heard, as well as being the chair of the Commerce Committee this last session when we had the original bill that came through last session, to make certain that we have a record that is perfected here on the floor regarding the legal presumption that is created by House Bill 2420A. This legal presumption is going to create a protection for firefighters and their families from the financial cost and the emotional trauma that comes about when they have to prove or when they had to prove that these 12 cancers caused or contributed by the work that they did as a firefighter. As a result of this bill passing into law, firefighters and their families will not have to prove these claims regarding these types of cancers. While there is a rebuttable presumption for an employer to deny that these cancers or claims were related to work, the employer must have clear and convincing evidence, medical evidence, that the work as a firefighter was not a fact of consequence in the contributing to the cancer itself. It should also be noted, Mr. President, that burden of proof applies to any and all degrees of the contribution that they would have to show as a rebuttable presumption. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have one question for the carrier.
Will the carrier yield to a question?
Yes, I will.
She will.
Thank you, Mr. President. The question I would have for the carrier are volunteer firefighters covered by the bill?
Yeah. Yeah. They
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Farioli, for that question. Volunteer firefighters are not covered by this bill. They are only covered if they then go to work as paid firefighters and have paid employment for at least 5 years under the language of the bill.
Mr. President, I thank the carrier for the answer. That is exactly what I had expected. Mr. President, I intend to support this bill. This is the product of a carefully crafted negotiation, and every member who has served in this body has heard this issue repeatedly. I think this is probably the third legislative session that we've tried to come up with a solution to this problem, and I welcome this solution. There is problems with regard to the volunteer firefighters that serve about half of the state of Oregon. Because they are not included with any sort of a presumption. So in the district that I represent, District 30, all are part of 12 counties, 34,000 square miles. Most of the EMTs and most of the firefighters are our friends and neighbors who volunteer their services, and they will not be covered. And I hope that at some point in a future legislative session we can revisit the issue and add coverage of some kind for the volunteer firefighters, who many of them serve for 5 or 6 or 10 years, and if they were in a paid position would be covered by the presumption. And I guess I would add my voice to those who have stood in recognition of the firefighters and their families for the sacrifice and the service that they make to all Oregonians, and simply add this perspective. If we believe our firefighters and their families are heroic in their actions, let us also understand that there are many who serve in the same capacity who volunteer. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
Thank you. Just briefly, Mr. President. Colleagues, you've heard excellent discussion on the bill. I wanted to just add that the Management Labor Advisory Committee, which is our workers' comp clearinghouse, did also unanimously vote to support House Bill 2420. I wanted to, Senator Manus Anderson already mentioned our firefighter friend from the House, Representative Greg Matthews, who carried this. I also want to just acknowledge the great work of two other people in addition to literally hundreds of people who worked on this bill. The Firefighters Association did remarkable work, and in particular, Bob Livingston, who is still working as a firefighter full-time as far as I know, but here with us most days of the week. And also Hasina Squires representing the special districts. The two of them really came together and I think made this happen. So colleagues, I just would urge you to honor our firefighters who risk their lives every day to keep us safe. We can honor their service today by voting for House Bill 2420A and providing a fair process for our firefighters when the tragedy of cancer strikes. Please join me in voting aye on the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2420A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Manus Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Brzozinski, Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
yes.
Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter,
aye.
Carter,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Dinkfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney, excuse, Carter, President Courtney, voting no, Nelson, 27 ayes.
House Bill 2420A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 106, relating to Oregon Youth Authority.
Chair recognizes Senator Carter? Or Whitsett, excuse me, Senator Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 106A was filed on behalf of the Oregon Youth Authority and passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee with unanimous consent. The bill would allow the Oregon Youth Authority to contract with and make grants with federally recognized Indian tribes in Oregon to provide gang intervention services to the tribes. Senate Bill 106 would accomplish this by allowing the tribes to compete directly for the funding on an equal basis with the counties and work directly with state agencies in coordinating gang prevention services. These programs have proven effective, especially among tribal youth in cultural-based programs. The tribes are not eligible for diversion funds. This bill has minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact. Mr. President, I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not. Senator Whitsitt, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 106. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morris. Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Buonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonnet Anderson. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. President Courtney. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 106, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, I'd like to return to the order of courtesies and recognize Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to extend courtesies or ask you to extend courtesies of the Senate to a high school group that's here from Cottage Grove. It's Kennedy High. They're in the back top in the gallery on the behind us. This class represents alternative school students that are doing very well in their studies, and I'm glad that they're able to come up from Cottage Grove to see us in action today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome to your state capitol, and enjoy the day today. Chair recognizes Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. That's a courtesy, and also I also have to offer an apologize to Molly, M with a Molly. I introduced her as Holly. Molly Litchfield, who is the student representative for the Oregon Student Association. She has on her side, we have two of the young women over here, Janet Jessup and Andrea Johnson, who are also students at Eastern Oregon University in LeGrand, and they're down here just finding out what's going on in the business, and I would really appreciate your extending courtesies and my apologies to Molly.
Thank you, Senator, and Molly, we liked you when you were Holly, and we enjoy you that you're here as Molly, and both of you as well, and thank you for coming to your state capitol today, and courtesies of the Senate are certainly extended. We'll now return to the regular order of business, third reading of Senate measures, and the clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 124, relating to operating a vehicle without driving privileges.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 124 comes to you in a unanimous vote from your Business and Transportation Committee. This bill is about motorcycle endorsements. To obtain a motorcycle endorsement to an Oregon driver's license, individuals under the age of 21 must complete a Team Oregon Basic Rider training course. This course addresses effective turning, braking maneuvers, protective apparel, obstacle avoidance, traffic strategies, and maintenance. The cost of the course is about $200. To obtain the motorcycle endorsement to an Oregon driver's license for individuals over the age of 21, they must pass a motorcycle knowledge test and pass an on-cycle driving test. The original purpose of this bill was to increase the penalty for motorcycle riders who failed to obtain the necessary motorcycle endorsement. In committee, though, we were surprised to hear a large number of riders convicted of riding without endorsement continue to ride without endorsement. So, in addition to increasing the penalty, we gave the court an option, and this was how the bill was amended. For riders cited for operating motorcycles without motorcycle endorsement, of completing the motorcycle rider education and obtaining motorcycle endorsement instead of just paying an increased penalty. The purpose of this bill is to make motorcycle riding safer Bottom line, we'd like to have motorcycle riders have the motorcycle endorsement and have safer roads out there in our state. Thank you, Mr. President. Urgent I vote.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am rising in support of this bill and would like to speak to it. As many of you know, I took up motorcycle riding and got off the back seat last year, and I took the basic riders training course, and it was $179, and it was the best $179 I ever did spend, because getting on a motorcycle requires all kinds of new ways of thinking about operating a vehicle, and it is a vehicle of some kind. You have to think about counter steering. You have to think about those people in front of you who don't see you and pull out in front of you. You have to think about deer and other critters on the road, and you have to be constantly looking for potholes in the road and gravel and all kinds of things that could make your motorcycle do things that it was not intended to do. I will tell you that I've worked closely with the Department of Transportation and the Governor's Advisory Committee on Motorcycle Safety in actually the fatalities in Oregon are the highest they've been in 20 years, folks. And that's because some of them are older people like me getting on a bike, thinking they can do it without taking the class. And some of them are young Turks who think they can get on a bike and not worry about anything but themselves. I will tell you that of the crashes in 2007, only five of the many crashes that occurred in 2007 were people who had graduated from the course. By and large, the rest of them were untrained riders. So the Motorcycle Safety Advisory Committee did a strategic planning session in October of 2007, and they wanted to lay out strategies to reduce this problem. So last year, they engaged in several meetings across the state, March 21st, 2008, April 12th, May 16th, July 11th, and September 19th in Eugene. And I rode my motorcycle there. I was so proud of myself. Over 100 participants gave verbal or written public testimony. And by and large, what folks were saying is that, over 40% of motorcycle fatalities involved a rider who was not properly endorsed. So the folks who testified wanted to provide incentives rather than punishment. So this bill gets at that. This bill says it's going to cost you more if you ride unendorsed, but hey, if you go out and get that training and the endorsement, then we will waive that increased penalty. And I think that's a fair way to do it. It's a safe way to do it, to encourage people to get out there and become a safe rider, because no one wants to impact a motorcycle rider who doesn't know what they're doing. I can tell you that if a car meets a motorcycle, motorcyclist rarely survives from that impact. So I think that at a minimum we need to do this. You'll see I have a couple of other pieces of legislation myself this session, one that requires mandatory training for any newly licensed rider over the age of 21. And right now it's under the age of 21 you have to get the training. I'd like to see that increase to all riders for newly licensed people. People like me who are older, and maybe we don't have quite the response time that some of the younger riders do, but we also have a greater maturity level where I'm not interested in dying out on the highway. So, colleagues, I encourage your support for this bill. I think the riding community appreciates it. They don't like mandates, but they like this bill, I think, because it provides the incentive and the hammer and the stick and the carrot and all that stuff. It's a good bill, and I encourage you, if you haven't done it already, think about riding a motorcycle, because it's a lot of fun, and you can see places in Oregon you have never seen before in a different way than when you're in an automobile. So happy riding to you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Starr, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 124. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Gerard. Cruz. 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 124, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 185, relating to State Department of Agriculture Agreements.
Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
I own a food processing facility and subject to these regulations.
Your conflict will be noted for the record.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 185. Currently, the Oregon Department of Agriculture's Export Service Center assists companies with pre-export analysis and certification for food products. The Export Services is certified customs laboratory for U.S. foods shipped to Japan, Korea, and Taiwan. These countries have incredibly high food standards, and for our exporters to be able to get into those markets, it is great to have a testing here before you actually ship. In addition, 17 other countries accept export service analytical results in lieu of testing at the destination port. The Export Service Center offers consulting and analytical services in four primary program areas: genetically modified organisms, detection, pesticide residue, food chemistry, and microbiology. Senate Bill 185 provides authority for the Oregon Department of Agriculture to contract for an inspection and testing imported and exported agricultural products. In a practical standpoint, what this does is allows especially our fresh food manufacturers, our fresh food exporters, to have testing so that they know when the product arrives in Japan or Taiwan, where they have very high requirements, that that product will be accepted and not rejected at the port and end up being a 100% loss. On products coming back into the United States, what this does is allows us to have a testing at that port before it leaves, but still allows the Oregon Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Department of Agriculture to do testing at this end. And so allows to make sure that our requirements are being met before the product ever leaves the port. I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 185.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Declared potential conflict of interest as my company consults in the area of foreign governments, trade, and agriculture products.
Thank you. Your conflict will be noted for the record. Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like a question of the carrier, please.
Will the carrier yield to a question?
Yes.
He will.
Good Senator from Sherwood, what assurances do you have that the testing is going to be done according to our protocol in one of these foreign countries?
The situation is with international trade right now, the international community is working very closely together to make sure that we have the highest standards of food safety for international exports. It's one of the reasons why we hear rarely about food safety problems on exported or imported products, because the testing between countries is so strict. Under this particular bill, it will allow our Department of Agriculture to go to a foreign country and set up their protocols for testing so that we know that our type of testing is being done at their end. And we contract with laboratories that we trust to make sure that they're doing that testing. When the product gets here, we then have a double check, because our system will still be allowed to catch it here when it hits the United States ports.
Thank you very much for that answer. Mr. President, follow-up?
Follow-up question?
Yes.
Yes. Do you feel that this bill is an improvement over the process that we have today?
Mr. President, there's two answers to that. As far as international trade for Oregon producers, it is a huge improvement for our producers being able, especially in the fresh fruit market like pears, strawberries, and other things, to be able to have assurances that when their product arrives in a foreign country that it will not be rejected and be a total loss. So economically, there's huge improvements. For importation, I would say that what we are doing is we're making sure that that product that does not meet our specifications never leaves its originating port. So what you get is you get a testing at the originating port that meets our USDA and Department of Agricultural standards, but then also we have our testing here in the United States. So I would say it's a significant improvement over current law.
Thank you for that answer. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I have had some concern, and perhaps you have too, about the safety of food that is coming into our country. However, if you remember the peanut scare that we've just had and the peanut butter, it actually has come from Georgia, from a plant in our own country. So I think my concern is both within the United States as well as without the United States. I spoke with the director of the Agriculture Department yesterday, Director Katie Koba, about this bill. And actually, I do see this bill as an improvement because I think the spot checking that they've been done has been inadequate. It is a business opportunity, I understand that, for Oregon. However, if I weren't convinced that this process was going to be handled in a way that there's a double check when the product comes into this country, I would still not be able to support the bill. But I will support the bill today, and I hope that you will too.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will support the bill. However, I just want to call your attention to a couple of things. Yesterday, the New York Times, which I read last night, had an interesting article about who hires the testers for organic foods coming from Canada and in the United States, and they are hired by the industry. The oversight is for organic foods, which we pay a premium price for, is very questionable and very lax. Secondly, we had a cat that was in the prime of its life that died of a kidney failure. We use Science Diet, which is a really nice, expensive cat food, and it was the product from China that they put into that took our cat. I guess it depends on which country you're talking about, but even the testers for organic foods from Canada are not necessarily unbiased. So this is fraught with problems and danger. However, this bill should improve. It's not going to diminish from what we're doing right now. So I will support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator George, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 185. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morris. Nelson. Brzozinski. Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Von Zenderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Voting no. Boquist. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 185, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Bonamici, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies.
If there is no objection, please go to your courtesy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, today is a day for the members of the Oregon branch of the American Civil Liberties Union to visit us in the Capitol. We have several members up in the gallery with us this morning. I know there are at least several from my district, and I wanted to extend the courtesies of the Senate to these members of the Oregon ACLU who are looking out for all of our civil rights. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome to your state capitol, and we hope you enjoy your day. Senator Carter, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. While you're under the order of courtesies.
Under the order of courtesies, proceed.
Judy might correct me, whether it's courtesies or whatever. But I want all of you on this floor to know today that Florence School District has followed Portland in having zero closures of the day. Of their system.
Thank you, Senator. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 198, relating to Oregon Racing Commission licensing actions.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 198 is a bill that's brought to you by the Oregon Racing Commission. Under the Administrative Procedures Act, licensing agencies currently have the authority to immediately suspend a license without hearing in any case where the agency finds serious danger to the public health or safety. Senate Bill 178 authorizes the Oregon Racing Commission to suspend, without hearing, the license of a multi-jurisdictional simulcast wagering hub. Say that three times fast. It's the simulcast sites. If the commission finds that the licensee has placed customer monies at risk, or intentionally violated, and I underline intentionally violated federal law, Oregon law, or commission rules. Colleagues, I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, you'll notice that I vote no on committee. I'll vote no on the floor. Actually, the bill accomplishes a very good purpose, but in the work session, the industry came in, expressed some concern about the without hearing provisions, and would like to get that changed. Due to time limitations and the fact that they seem like fairly minor changes, we decided as a committee to go ahead and send the bill on and urge the parties to get together in the House to make the changes. But I thought it was important to show that there was some disagreement, still some work to be done on the bill, so I will vote no. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill.
To the bill.
I just want to clarify, I'll be voting no, joining Senator George. It does have a good purpose, and it just needs to be fixed on the far side. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Starr, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 198. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Montez Anderson, Monroe, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney, voting no, Atkinson, Bonamici, Boquist, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 198, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair recognizes President Courtney.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask unanimous consent to be allowed to vote on House Bill 2420. It will not change the outcome.
Senator Courtney has asked unanimous consent to be allowed to cast a vote on House Bill 24. It will not change the outcome. Is there any objection? If not, Senator Courtney, how do you vote?
Votes aye.
Senator Courtney, record as an aye vote on House Bill 2040. First reading of House measures. Oh, Senator Carter, for what purpose do you rise?
To vote on House Bill 2420, since you were already under that permission, Mr. President.
Senator Carter has asked for unanimous consent to vote on
House Bill 2420.
2420. Is there any objection? Senator Carter, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Senator Carter votes yes, and we'll point out that Senator Courtney voted yes on that same measure, 2420. Now, first reading of House measures.
House Bill 2235, relating to hazardous trees along state highways. House Bill 2302, relating to local correctional expenses. House Bill 2326, relating to motor vehicle liability and coverage.
Transmit to the President's desk, referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2162, relating to property tax appeals and prescribing effective date.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of the House measure. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5034, relating to State Financial Administration and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 5034 modifies dates on existing capital construction limitations for the Department of Community Colleges Workforce Development, makes a number of changes to capital projects of the Oregon Military Department as well. Senate Bill 338 contained a number of economic stimulus projects. A limitation for the Community Colleges Stimulus Project was inadvertently set to expire on June 30, 2009. A number of those projects were expected to take longer than that to complete. Section 1 of the bill simply extends the expiration date for those projects for two more years, June 30th, 2011. It should be noted that no changes were made to the amounts of the projects at all. The rest of the bill allows the Oregon Military Department to increase some federal funds limitations as well as transfer funds between existing capital construction projects. The department routinely requires these kinds of action as the biennium proceeds and actual costs and funding sources unknown for each of their capital projects. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means truly, sincerely, positively recommends approval of House Bill 5034.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Any further discussion? Of course, now I rise upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5034. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney?
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, 25 ayes.
House Bill 5034, I received a constitutional majority, square pass. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 5042, relating to San Francisco Administration, Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 5042 comes to you unanimously from your Ways and Means Committee with one excused. It establishes additional amounts of authority for the Department of Administrative Services to issue lottery revenue bonds. The committee increased lottery bonding authority by $36.9 million to enable the Department of Administrative Services to proceed with its next planned lottery bond sale without reducing or eliminating projects that were previously approved by the legislature in 2007. The increased authority will be used to fund cash reserves to pay debt service in the final year the bonds are outstanding. The initial budget was developed assuming that insurance surety agreements would be used in place of cash reserves. However, with disruptions in the bond insurance market, the use of sureties is no longer cost-effective or even available. So your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5042.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Discussion. Personnel rise. Bond third reading and final passage of House Bill 5042. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Yes, Devlin. Senator Devlin, he's a yes.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson. Farioli. George. Cruz. Starr. 25 ayes.
House Bill 5042. I have received a constant majority. Is declared passed. Other business, Senate. According to SR 8.403. Number. Committee referral list number 59 was distributed to members March 4th. Referrals will be recorded in the Journal and State Report. So order. Announcements. Any announcements? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans will have their regularly scheduled Thursday luncheon caucus in the Republican caucus room on the third floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. This weekend, if you all care to listen to me, it's Spring Forward. Is that what it was? That's something to do with daylight savings time. I'm not going to tell you what it means, because if you screw up your clocks, you'll blame me. You either go forward or backwards. So do that. Also, for the record, there are 38 session days until the April 28th deadline for Senate bills to come out of Senate committees. 38 days. There are 15 hearing days for policy committees that meet twice a week until the April 28th deadline for Senate bills. There's 60 session days until policy committees are shut down on May 28th. You know all those things, but I'm just emphasizing them. We do not come back here tomorrow. We do not come back here. We come back here on Monday. I mean, you may come back here tomorrow, but we don't come back on the floor tomorrow. Is there any other further announcements? I guess there's not any. If there are no further announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 on Monday, March 9th.